Yo, this is Greg Capullo, man, and you're listening to Elegant Weapon. And you know who the biggest elegant weapon is? I can't tell you where it's located, but it's got something to do with me.
An Elegant Weapon is brought to you by Nemesis Studios.
An elegant weapon for the more civilized age.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to An Elegant Weapon, episode 212. It's our fourth annual Fan Expo Extravaganza 2017. I am your host, J.J.M. Clark. As always, it's so wonderful to be with you all. Coming from here, live to you, in the L5J Studios, and with me for this very, very, very special occasion. He is one of the IDW artists I'm so excited. I'm all jibber-jabbered tonight, kids. But IDW, My Little Pony artist, Marvel Avenger and Web Warrior artist, creator of the Bodhi Troll, and guest of this year's Fan Expo, ladies and gentlemen, J.P. Fosgit. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me again, my friend Jay Clark.
Oh, of course, anytime. You are a deep, ingrained part of this show, my friend, so it's an honor to have you here, and it was an honor to hang out with you all weekend, man.
It was awesome, and you say this is your fourth year sort of podcasting the show, so to speak, the
yes.
Con?
Yes, it's our fourth year of Gorilla Pod, which is basically from Fan Expo. We have to come from you from the trenches, which is where we want to be anyways. For some reason that we won't get into, my own hometown con is the one comic convention that does not feel I deserve press for the occasion, which is okay, which is fine. It's a whole other thing that's not even that important to me because it always results in so much love coming from the alley itself. The second people heard that I, again, kept the streak alive and did not get press, were offering me their plus ones.
Well,
and,
Jay?
Yes.
Would that make you depress?
Ba-doom boom. Yeah, but, you know, that's what's cool is everybody reached out and everybody, you know, wants me. Well, you know, I don't mean wants me there, but, you know, is
no,
there to help.
There.
And,
we all want you at all of our cons.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to be able to go because, you know, I get to be like the archivist of the party. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And everyone seems to know you now. You're becoming quite the rock star, certainly on my con circuit. So I'm thrilled to know you, Fonzie.
Hey, man, I'm just thrilled to have met all the wonderful people that I've met and anybody who ever supports this show. Thank you so much. One love, and you live in a special place. I mean, I know that Toronto is very, very special to you, and it's your home away from home, but you come from a magical place in itself. Like, Michigan has a wonderful, wonderful community there, and I'm very proud to be accepted by that community in any way, so...
Absolutely. No, everyone I know out here loves you. So,
well, that's very, very, very sweet. But let's get on to how much everybody out here loves you, because when you come here, it is an absolute occasion. You were, I believe, first time guest.
This was the first time I was a full guest of the show. Like, I think once before I got a full table. This time they put me up in a hotel. I got to do an amazing panel, and they really just made me feel very special and was really incredible. And I'm very appreciative to Kevin Boyd for sort of promoting me in that way.
Hey, Kevin, for the kids out there who don't know, you can go back several episodes and you can catch a wonderful chat that I had with Kevin Boyd, who is the comics coordinator for Fan Expo Canada. And he has just returned after a several year absence, and it changed everything. Fan Expo has it went in a certain direction because it was getting so big. It needed to find itself. It went through a change of ownership, and Kevin has come back, and he brought all that heart roaring back with him, and it was felt in spades throughout the alley. Not one person that I talked to, record with or otherwise, who did not express their extreme thanks and gratitude for the consideration of their well-being and their comfort that was put forth by Kevin and his team at Fan Expo. So major kudos to Kevin, Shane Kirschenblatt, all of you kids. You killed it. You absolutely killed it. So here you are, Jay Fosgate. First time. You've been to Fan Expo before. But
I've been doing Fan Expo for as long as you've been podcasting now for Fan Expo. Same amount of years.
So you're here, and you're a first-time guest, and that first-time guest spot gets you sandwiched so beautifully between Michael Cho and Ty Templeton.
Yeah, just that's the sweet spot, and two of the nicest creators I've ever got to table neighbor with, not to mention that Ty's wife, Karen, is an amazing person herself, and so, you know, sort of like a great threesome of awesome people, you know.
That was fantastic. I'm so glad you got to chill with them because, Ty and Karen, amazing, amazing stories, amazing people. So that resulted because of the fact that your table was formerly Frank Miller's.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that, but for whatever reason, my table was originally bequeathed to Frank Miller, who they ended up moving to the other side of the con to a presumably better trafficked area. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Not that you were in a bad spot, because you were in a great spot.
Oh,
which I can understand why it was his original spot, but had they kept him there, would have been mayhem. Now, one of my big concerns about the expo before it occurred was Greg Capullo being there and a regular guest in Artist Alley, because I know his pull. I've seen his pull. And you know, I was worried about the way they would set that up, but the way they actually staggered out his times, he wasn't there at all times. And they kind of staggered it out into blocks where they could kind of have groups of people. And they put him right on an end where there was kind of a wall where people could line up and not, you know, disturb the flow of the current of Artist Alley too much. And, you know, that it was handled. So that was the one big fear I had, and it was totally, you know, quelled. But my only critique, just because I don't want this to be, you know, 110% sunshine, there is still one problem with Fan Expo, and it's not the expo's fault. It's simply just gotten so big. Artist Alley had been increased this year by almost a third. They added a good, like, you know, 10 rows maybe. It was so much longer, but it was still absolutely immobile at certain times where you could not move. You were literally standing in one spot for up to 2 minutes just to go in a direction.
It's true. But, you know, this is just my thing, is I think that people need to have a good comparison. Having been at San Diego for 3 or 4 years now, having been at New York, I can tell you that at its worst, Fan Expo was still a lot more navigable, despite the shoulder-to-shoulder crowds.
Really? Those things must get insane. Now, maybe I'm going off just one particular huge, glorious thing that I saw, which was C2E2 this year, where they went ahead and made like a quarter of the building Artist Alley.
Sure.
And you could play a soccer match in those alleys. And yeah,
they have a lot more elbow room there, whereas we're very limited with what they have at the con center that we're at for Fan Expo.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Could it possibly be outgrowing the Metro Toronto Convention Center? Which is a crazy thought, because there's nowhere bigger. It's not like it could move somewhere.
You know, I kind of think it might be. I mean, part of the problem is it's two stories under the ground, pretty much. You know, so you can't really grow out from there. It's not like if it were ground level where you could build on wings or whatever. You can't build on underground wings, so.
Not in that one hall, like, because you didn't even make it to the North Hall, did you?
No.
Like, don't forget, there was a whole other half to that expo that you didn't even get a chance to lay eyes on.
Aside from my one panel, which was still pretty close to the Artist Alley, no.
Yeah, and it was insane. Like, I've never seen a line of celebrities like this from one end to the other. It was incredible. And they were very smart. They even added, normally they have the Gamers Arena, which is one of the coolest parts of the con. And it's a big setup. It's like a weird sports TV arena thing with people watching and an audience. And this year they actually moved it out of either of the buildings and gave it its own hall room. And it was impressive. It was a really cool thing. It was almost like it was all smoke and neon lights and dark and stuff. And when you walk in there, it's all steam.
Yeah.
Like they have like smoke machines. And you go in and there's two like commentators sitting at the desk or the cameras pointed at them. And there's like four bleachers of people all sitting around watching this giant screen of these guys playing video games. And it was really cool. And they even took that out of where it usually is, which is in the North Building. And still. And they also moved part of the food court from the South Building into the actual lobby. And yeah, so they did. They made a lot of really good moves. But my God, it's so big now. It's almost too big for Toronto, which is crazy to say.
Toronto deserves that show, though. I think it's been a long time coming. Toronto is, I don't know, at least the jewel of Southern Ontario, if not Ontario proper. So I think it deserves a show of that magnitude, and it couldn't be better.
Yeah, so
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, it loves you too. So let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen with our extravaganza, kids. This is going to be two parts, two episodes. The first part is going to feature interviews with the following of the finest of Toronto's comic creators, okay? We're going to start off with a little bit of Mr. Sean Daly. Sean Daly, of course, the nicest of the nice, wonderfully super talented individual, actually making a little bit of a name for himself out in your area.
Yeah, a lot of my pals are now pals with him, and he just became my Facebook friend.
Oh, awesome. He's a swell guy, and he's killing it. He's the creator of Terraquil, which he writes and draws. He's one of those rare talents like you who does it all. He can write and he can draw, and, you know, it's a package deal for him. So it's very, very cool. So we're going to have a chat with Mr. Sean Daly, which is always fun. And then after that, we're going to have a little chat with Mr. Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley is the man behind AH Comics, which is Alternate History. Okay. So they are the publishers behind Moonshot. So Moonshot. I've talked a lot about Moonshot. Moonshot is a beautiful piece of art. It's a graphic novel. It's an anthology of Indigenous Aboriginal works by Indigenous Aboriginal peoples of Canada. And it's just gorgeous. It's a stunning, stunning book to look at. So we chat with Andy, and Andy is also the man behind the Jewish – well, he's not behind it, but he's publishing it, the Jewish Comics Anthology, which is very, very cool. It has Stan Lee's first ever edited story in it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called The Golem. It's about the Golem. It's very, very cool. It's got Will Eisner work in it. It's an amazing anthology, so you may want to check that out. And we talked to him about Moonshot 2, which is coming up. We talk about his comic Titan, which we've talked about. And Sean and Andy have both been on the show many, many times before, so you may already know what I'm talking about. Now, after that, the Toronto Comics Anthology. I'm so behind this operation here. Andrew Stevenson and one of the creators, Greg Menzies, is who I'll be chatting with. You've heard Andrew on the show many, many times, as I've been plugging hard the Toronto Comics Anthology. It's an anthology by Toronto comic creators about Toronto. And that's the key. So it's a great platform for the city's up and comers. And it's also a great way to teach people about the city. Because a lot of these stories are, you know, researched, and they come out of researching old stories and trying to find cool ideas to tell about Toronto, right? So that is fun indeed. We talk with them. Then we talk with Mr. Jason Liu. Jason Liu is the creator behind The Pitiful Human Lizard, which has just been going gangbusters in Toronto right now. This year it's been very, very popular, and you need to check it out. Jason's also one of the guys behind the Mississauga Comic Expo, which is happening next month here in Mississauga, and Clarkson is going to represent, you know it, because An Elegant Weapon will be there, and I'm super, super excited. This is taking place at the Mississauga Central Library, and it's free. It's free, damn it.
Wow, that's rare.
Oh, it's crazy. It's a big joint operation. He works with the library as well, and they put on this giant free Comic-Con. and they have the best of the best of the GTA there, and it's absolutely phenomenal. So go, take your children, have a good time, and you might get to meet me if you're lucky. Okay, Jay, you get to comment quite a bit on our last conversation that's coming on this part one episode, because that's a quick little chat with Mr. Scott Chandler.
Oh, my buddy Scott Chandler and my nemesis.
You, in fact, took part in – I didn't realize this was your first ever sketch duel.
Yeah, yeah, first one in Toronto at least, and I wasn't sure what to expect, but it was amazing.
It was with Mr. Scott Chandler, of course, who is a Toronto cartoonist.
Eisner nominated, Schuster nominated, might have won the Schuster actually. Scott's just an amazing guy. We have some mutual friends, and by fate we got paired up to be drawing against one another in this really awesome sketch duel to the death, and here I am. So that's all I'm nice. Saying.
Nice. Well, the weird thing about it is Fan Expo, usually they went very comic heavy this year, like straight up almost, I hate to say it, superhero or serious comic heavy. And normally there's a lot of weird variation, but I do kind of like that Kevin focused on something that I think he knew people wanted, but that left a certain niche for you to take advantage of, being pretty much one of only two cartoonists there, at least as far as guests.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's tricky. I never really think of it, but you're absolutely right that I'm one of the few cartoony comic book creators that was in attendance. So that was the beauty thing of being up against Scott, who has this beautiful classic John Buscema, Jack Kirby kind of style. And here I am coming more from the Jeff Smith, Sergio Aragonés school of cartooning. So we both stood out. So it was not even a competition. It was two different styles drawing the same things for the pleasure of the crowd.
That's what we actually speak about, because he starts – he was so busy. A lot of these interviews are – the longest, I think, is Sean. We speak for about 15 minutes, but then you're going to get all these chats. It's going to be like the music video of podcast kids, because it's all basically like 3 to 7 minute interviews, because everyone was just so damn busy. It was insane.
Yes.
All you're going to hear also is people continuously over and over again talking about how this is the most successful convention of their careers, which is just insane. So many people sold out of many titles.
Yep.
And so I only got to speak with Scott for like 3 minutes, because it was just constant. People were selling him out. I think he sold out of one series as we were talking. And yeah, it was amazing. But he had such nice things to say about you. He's like, oh, he just whooped my ass. And I was like, no. It really is apples and oranges, as he says. Like, you both have beautifully distinct styles and are both, you know, absolute geniuses in your own rights. And he does. He really gets me. He is. It's like Jack Kirby and Darwin Cook had a love child.
Sure, yeah.
And out came Scott. You guys did Doctor Doom.
And
Silk Spectre.
Yeah, I wish we could have fit some more in there, because I was having the best time I've ever had in a panel.
Well, you guys were both so knowledgeable. That's one of the things. Everybody has to go, okay, Jay Fosgate is on Facebook, and he'll friend you because he loves you all. Then there's Jay Fosgate Art, which is a fan page that you can go and enjoy that as well, where we just share things from Jay's past and present and what's going on. And it's just a place to have fun and share. And then there's Foscast, which is Jay's new show on Facebook, where he basically sketches, what, maybe 2 or 3 per hour? You maybe do in an hour?
About 3 an hour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you take the time to read all the questions and comments that are coming in, and you are such a fountain of knowledge when it comes to all these things that you love and have influenced your art, that's half the show. You know, like half the people... A lot of people have said they watch it without sound, and they're just as entertained by watching you, you know, display your skills and all. And it's the other half that's fun, that's talking to you and you teaching everybody. You're having fun doing it, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I love being able to talk about the things I'm passionate about, and that's comics. So,
well, it's working out nicely. So everybody needs to go onto Facebook and check out the Foscast, because – you're kind of just – you haven't really scheduled anything. You're just doing it very often when you feel like it, yeah?
I kind of feel like I'm doing what you do at cons. It's like guerrilla sketching where, you know, you just – oh, hey, he's there. I better tune in.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You know, and I do that live on my Facebook page, and then I sort of collect them all on the Fozcast page.
That's so fantastic.
Can watch them later on. Yeah.
It's great. You kids got to check it out. You've done some amazing ones. You did one based on Dark Crystal. You've done a couple that were basically Disney-themed. You did the Pete's Dragon that one time, yeah. Elliot.
Don Bluth animation.
That one was great. That was the best talk one yet.
Oh, thanks.
Well, yeah, but you were just spilling so much stuff that I love to hear about. It's, you know, it's cool. A lot of artists are very knowledgeable about kind of their influences, like their direct influences, who maybe they studied a lot to get better at their craft. But, I mean, you know shit that has nothing to do with you being an artist.
Yeah, I don't know how, but you're right. I know some weird stuff. I want to do an episode that's Nelvana-centric for those of you who are familiar with Nelvana animation. That's a plan.
Yes, you need to make that happen. That needs to happen. Yes, and you introduced me to Ludo.
Yes, that's Rob Mills, who played Ludo in Labyrinth.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, I made friends with your friend Jane there.
Yeah.
And, because of that budding friendship, kids, I think we'll be resulting in some amazing, amazing things, fingers crossed, coming to the show in the future. Because Jay introduced me to some people that I did not know existed around here. And now that I know, every time Jay comes here, he introduces me to people who live within 20 minutes of me that I have no idea exist.
I love that. When I come to town and I'm walking around, people act like I'm the local and I'm showing them all the places and all the people. I love that.
You know what Aaron said the other day? Flat out serious, like not a joke. I think we were just talking about Fan Expo and something about you loving whatever here. And she just totally was like, yeah, I see him living here. I was like, what? She's like, oh, yeah, I see him moving here. Totally. Eventually. I think eventually he's going to end up living here.
I think it's inevitable.
Well, if you ever decide to, it would make things even more joyous and bright around here. So you're always welcome here in the hinterlands, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. So that being said, shall we get on with it?
Let's get on with it.
Yes, yes. Part one of our fourth annual Fan Expo Extravaganza 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Daly, Andy Stanley, the Toronto Comics Anthology, Andrew Stevenson and Greg Menzi, Jason Liu, and Scott Chantler. Here we go. Show's going great. How's the show going for you?
Good. Just hanging out, drawing, doing what I do, I guess.
Normally we end this party with a little bit of Sean Daly and then a little bit of Sparkle Girl Jen.
Nice.
But we're going to start this party with a little bit of Sean Daly. A newly glassed Sean Daly.
Yeah, I'm a Four Eyes now.
It helps the part, though, right? It helps the role? Okay. I think so.
I mean, it helps me see. That's pretty good.
That can't do anything but help the art get better, right?
Yeah, well, or worse. We'll see how it goes.
That'd be great, eh?
Yeah, it'll be one or the other, hopefully.
Oh, wait, I suck.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, jeez. Why didn't anybody tell me?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, any commissions come your way, Ed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Some Metal Gear Solid stuff. A lot of Pokemon. Yeah. Probably because of Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah, it's a popular year for that.
Yeah, you could say that.
How many did you get yesterday?
Commissions?
Yeah.
About 6.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's pretty good. You're in second so far that I've heard.
Nice.
Mr. Fosgate took home 11 commissions last night.
That doesn't surprise me. That guy is a machine.
Yeah, he was up to like 2 doing commissions, man.
I imagine. He's so good.
What is this you're working on currently?
Metal Gear Solid.
Is this something you play and are familiar with?
Or? Oh, yeah. It's actually one of my all-time favorite video games.
Okay,
ever.
So would the person who requested this commission know that you're familiar with
it? Yeah, big time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right,
actually,
cool.
I've been talking to a lot of people who want commissions, and they're like, you know, when the artist is down with what you're trying to get them to draw, it always turns out so much better.
Oh, of course.
And I agree, like, completely.
Yeah. Yeah,
it just, you know, it's always nice when people who are getting commissions take that into account, you know?
Well, people often will go to something kind of familiar. But do you ever have the ones who are just flat out, like, just however you want to do it, and they just like seeing your work, so they were like, draw me this.
And those are also some of the best ones you'll ever get, too. Because there's really, it's do what you want, you know?
Yeah. Do you need reference much?
Sometimes. Yeah. If I'm not familiar with the character,
right.
I will, but...
Just look her up and...
Yeah, but if I am, I'll just go for it. Even if I'm wrong, I'll just...
What's the craziest commission you've ever gotten?
Craziest? Man, off the top of my head, A full family portrait where everyone in the family was an astronaut was pretty crazy. I mean, okay. It's pretty tame, but, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was pretty cool.
Well, it must be neat because there's no, like, specific character anything like that. They were just flat out, draw this. Yeah.
We want to be astronauts. You got it. Sure.
Yeah. I'll make you whatever you want to be.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So it's been an exciting year. You've had two anthology entries this year, Toronto Comics Anthology and Hogtown
and
Horror.
Hogtown Horror is upcoming. It's
now,
pretty cool.
I know I'm familiar with the Toronto Comics story, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
And in one of those usual Sean Daly fashion kicks to the gut at the end.
Yeah.
What's your entry into Hogtown all about?
Well, Hogtown was kind of pitched to me as, you know, we want to do, like, movies almost. You know, like, pick a genre of a horror movie and then do a comic based around that genre. So I picked monster movies. So that my story is going to be influenced by things like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street or Pumpkinhead or, you know, any 80s monster movie, is you're going to see a little bit of this. And
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is it a solo endeavor, this one?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah,
this will just be writing and drawing.
When are you going to learn to start working with others?
I have an exact answer for you on this one. Toronto Comics Volume 4. I'm going to be only drawing, not writing.
Ooh.
So I get to draw someone else's story.
Nice. Have you been hooked up with that person yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. I thought they were still in the process of doing that.
The
right?
scripts are going to be turned in shortly, and then the artists.
That's one of the cool things about that anthology is they will team you up. They've got, like, artists in waiting for writers and stuff, and they can kind of make teams and try new things. It's a great experiment.
And they should for an anthology, because the more people working on it, the more marketing that can be done for it.
Oh, that's the
right?
key.
If
that's
you only had 20 people on it, like, you know, why not 50?
Yeah, yeah. That's the whole point of these Fan Expo podcasts.
Yeah.
I can interview, like, 50 people,
and
50 people, like, share it to the world.
Done.
And tell everybody about our party and our good times, you know?
Yeah, and that should be the idea going into anthologies as well.
Right. Are we going to at least see a squirrel in the Hogtown story?
Oh, I don't want to give too
much
away.
At least run okay, we can keep our hopes up, though, maybe?
You might, I don't want to break any hearts, so we'll see.
All right, the Bridge Builder's Creed.
Yeah.
Do tell.
It's just a follow-up to Terrorquill, really. But this one's going to be one long story.
Why the idea to separate it up? Like, why not just keep going with Terrorquill? Why kind of a spin-off in a way?
I'm going to, actually. I wanted to, like, forever I've wanted to take a shot at doing a long story.
Okay.
So Terrorquill, like, the first collection was just a practice, really. Like, can I tell a story?
Right.
But people
dug it.
Because
it was, four different volumes in that?
Five volumes.
It was five issues in the one collection,
ten stories.
Yeah.
And people dug it, so I figured, you know what, maybe I'll just take a shot at writing something long form, you know, like an original graphic novel.
Right, right. Do you have any interest in, like, maybe pushing it to somebody? You ever thought about getting somebody to pick up Terrorquill?
I've showed it to a few publishers, and there's been a couple that are interested. They want to see the whole thing when it's done.
Okay.
Because they're not... The publishers that I'm looking for would publish full-length graphic novels and not individual issues. And I'm fine doing them as little... Ashcan versions, like just the tiny print-yourself black and white ones, until I'm ready to collect it all.
Right.
I figure it's cheaper, I can do it all myself, it's, you know, easier for everyone.
Right.
And then, yeah, when it comes time, we'll see what some people have to say about it.
Because I think it's by far by time. I mean, people are loving it. It's a great story.
Well, I'm glad they dig it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It deserves support. So people go out there, seandaly.ca.
You got it.
Check out Terrorquill, because it's a story that people really, really dig. And it's exciting, it's emotional, it's all that stuff.
I'm glad one person thinks so.
That's not that true
makes,
at all.
I know.
That's why I'm making this... we're making this more of a possibility than ever to try to get your ass out to Michigan.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen in 2017.
Because you've got some fans. There's been some talk out there. Same thing with here. So
that's cool, man.
As we know, this weekend at Fan Expo, Marvel, Joe Quesada and his cohort, what's his name? Dan something? Derek something? Who's the other guy? Yeah, we got his name right here. The other Marvel important guy.
Is that it?
Yeah, Darren Sean.
Yeah.
Or Shan. Darren Shan, yes. Yeah. Doing portfolio reviews.
Yeah.
And you were thinking about trying it out?
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
I think you should.
Why not?
Because I think anybody in here should.
No, I agree. Yeah, I mean, like, when you get this opportunity, what, once a year? Yeah. Maybe.
Well, they don't even come every
year. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I guess this is the first time I've seen this here.
Right,
so.
Me too, yeah. And that's top tiers. And at least, you know, what's the worst they can say is no.
Exactly.
And you're at least going to get some probably advice about it.
Yeah.
Plus, your name will be in the back of their head.
Yeah.
You know, it's something you definitely have to attempt. But I think they're going to be impressed with the fact that you're not just, here's my art. But you've actually got a story, and you've showed that your brain works in several ways, you know?
Yeah, I think that's kind of important, being, you know, someone who creates comics. Like, yeah, you obviously have to know how to draw them if you want to be an artist, but if you know a thing or two about writing, that just kind of, that can make your art better.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I'm sure, because, I mean, it informs the reactions, and I guess... the emotions that are going on in there.
Yeah,
right?
It's all storytelling, regardless of whether you're writing or drawing.
Anything else coming up?
Nope.
Nope.
No, there's
one.
Yeah,
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's about it for the year. Then I'll be done. Hey, what was that wrestling thing I saw you at?
Because
you're a fan, and I saw you with the belt. What was that?
I got wrestling, like, tickets last year for like a VIP experience, so I got to meet some of the wrestlers and hold the championship belt and see the ring and everything.
I didn't know you were a fan of the...
I'm a huge wrestling fan.
See, this is going into the whole Michigan thing, because they're all wrestling freaks out there too.
No shit, really?
All I hear from all my comic book fans every Monday night, I've got to listen to them spewing off about Raw.
God damn.
So, you know, maybe there was a switch that happened. Maybe you should have been in Michigan and Fosgate was supposed to have been here. Some sort of weird destiny. No, you're too nice.
If he ever wants to switch for a week, I'm in. I'm down. Totally.
Ah, the double duty is fun, though. Yeah. He's doing a sketch duel on Sunday.
Oh, awesome.
With Scott Chatham.
Yep.
I think that's his name.
Yep.
And that's going to be fun, because they're both very talented cartoonists.
Yeah,
no
kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's good times, man.
Damn.
Good times.
Yeah.
How's the chiptunes?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't have as much time as I'd like, just with work and comics and stuff. But
of course.
It's more of like a relaxing downtime thing now. It's like if I have a few moments, I'll chip away. That's about it.
How, when you're drawing, is there much, do you have music involved, the TV, do you need background noise, do you need any kind of, you know, comfort noise, or are you just sitting alone in silence drawing?
No, I'm usually listening to music, like, the entire time.
Now, will the music selected be of the mood of what you have to draw, or vice versa? Will it affect each other at all?
No, not at all.
No?
Not at all, no.
Really?
It's just, I need something, like, I need noise.
Right.
I think working in a recording studio for, like, 7 years... like, really fucked my ears a little bit.
Okay.
Because
I don't hear it the same way either.
No, not really. Yeah. I have a ringing in my ears that, like, I need something there. Yeah,
right.
It sucks.
Right.
Sucks. But, I mean, yeah, it's always music.
You know, it's kind of the same thing. It's weird, though, but when I'm in a tree, working on a tree, I can't take, even though it's not silence or maybe a chainsaw running or whatever, like, at this point, I don't really hear it.
Right.
I like to put podcasts on and stuff, just pure comfort noise.
Are you allowed to do that? Like, that's you do it.
I'm not sure.
You do what you want.
Well, I've been doing this long enough. I know it's safe. I know it's safe, damn it.
Yeah.
I know if I'm going to hurt myself or not. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's very kind. I want to ask Capullo if I can possibly get a chance to talk to him, because he's such a big Black Label Society guy. Like, he just pimps the shit out of them. Like, he's huge.
Yeah, right.
So I'm wondering how much Batman that we've read while looking at the page was inspired by, like, you know... Are there any, like, scenes of Batman kicking ass that were because of a BLS song, you know, got a little more aggressive than it might have been?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him at all.
Right.
That would be cool.
There's a friend of mine, Phil Buck, out of Denver. He's got a project called Those Shadow People.
Do I know this?
You might have seen this online.
Yeah.
But he does the comic, The Shadow People, as well. He does the soundtrack for the comic.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
So you get both at the same time.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah.
I've wanted to do something like that for a long time.
Yeah. I'll send you the links or whatever to his stuff. But it's really good, too. It's kind of Gorillaz inspired, right? And, it is Gorillaz inspired.
Right.
He's a huge fan, but it's his own thing.
Yeah.
But, and he does all these songs. He does, like, a 12-song, album to go with, like, the issue.
amazing.
And it's not so much as a soundtrack as much as it's like the mood.
Yep.
So it is a soundtrack, but it's not like, you know, do-do-do, like beats when somebody takes a step sort of thing.
It's
but, but it all goes together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really, really cool, man. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I love when people do the multimedia thing. I'm surprised people don't do it more, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know? You release a record, like record in comic. Oh, they did a comic and 45 thing, too.
What's that?
Or was it him or someone else? Where you got the comic and a 45 to go with the comic. It was either that, he either did that or told me about someone who did that, that inspired him. So I apologize, Phil. You may be hearing this. But either way, because you remember the old Turn the Page, you know, record in 45. So do we have fans here to talk to? Hi. How you guys doing?
How's it going?
You having a good show?
Freeze.
Right on.
Freeze?
You got it.
I'm Mr. Freeze. Funny, just speaking of Capullo, because I got his Freeze framed on my wall that was a Fan Expo exclusive.
Oh, when was that?
That was like 4 years ago last time he was here.
Was it 4 years ago?
Yeah, because it was a year after the new 52 started.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit.
And he's not even here yet. And you see the lineups that are over there? Like, you can't walk this one aisle because of comic lineups, man. Tim Sale.
Yeah, is that his lineup right behind us there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't even consider Tim Sale. Imagine when Capullo sits down.
Yeah, I know.
Good night. Yeah. This thing's going to shut now.
Yeah. It'll be something else. And it's just getting more and more every year, too. But, I mean, this year, I think, has my favorite guests.
Oh, yeah.
That I've ever, Ryan Ottley's here.
Yeah,
which
that's
is,
exciting.
Like, so cool.
That's a big one.
Can I sign this for you? Cool.
Who else is excited?
David Hayter.
Right on.
That's the voice of Solid Snake from this game series that I'm drawing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's been a big influence.
Wow, a voice actor.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Did not expect to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but
like,
you're a sound guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Bob Paulson's here.
Oh yeah.
Oh, cool. I met him in Denver.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got him. He did the Yakko and a Pinky bumper for the show.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I when you pay, you get three recordings.
Yeah.
So I got those two, and then the third one, he did Donatello as a message to my son.
Oh, man.
So it's Donatello telling my kid that he can be the fifth Ninja Turtle in Toronto, and he's got to pick a color.
That's so
cool. And all
cool.
this stuff. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. It was really nice of him, man.
That's amazing.
So I got to confront him this weekend because he did a podcast called Talking Tunes.
Cool.
One of my favorite podcasts ever where he just has voice people on, like legends. And then it just stopped.
Oh.
And I can't even figure out online, like, there's nothing saying why or anything.
That's weird.
So one of the beauties of these events is that I can go to him face to face and be like, yo, where's my free entertainment?
What the hell?
Asshole.
Yeah. Think of the people.
Yeah. It's good times.
Yeah. Check this out.
What's this?
It's a fortune I got. In a
What's
fortune
your fortune?
Cookie.
Let's read it. Wait. You are smarter than everyone around you. See, it's the glasses.
I know, it's the glasses.
It's the glasses, man.
Yeah. It's good luck glasses. I dig it. I'm going to keep that forever.
That's awesome.
So if anyone ever questions me, I'll just show them.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Kids, seriously, Sean Daly is one of the next big badass things to come out of Toronto. It's going to happen. Terraquil.
Terraquil.
Which people need to read, and I believe they can get online at
seandaly.ca. Yep.
And, you know, check them out. Thanks so much, as usual.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend, sir.
I will, you too.
Sean Daly. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Later at the Hall of Justice.
What are we doing?
I don't think he wanted to leave you.
He didn't.
I think he wanted to spend the morning
he totally
conversing
did.
And
yeah.
having pleasant times with you.
Well, I can't blame him.
Andy Stanley.
How you doing?
Writer. Oh, they keep coming.
They keep coming.
They keep coming.
We can talk.
Right
can
now, you are currently signing
time.
Something that I became aware of this year. This is the Jewish Comics Anthology.
That is correct. It's a 256-page collection of short stories, all based on ancient folktales and myths from Hebrew culture.
Which is super cool. Name some of the names that are in this anthology.
Oh, you know, small people like Stan Lee edited a story that's in there. Joe Kubert, Will Eisner, Art Spiegelman, Harvey Pekar, you know.
I know of
you
none
know.
Of these people you speak of.
Never
heard of them.
Never
heard of them.
Stan Lee? Who's that guy? He's got two first names.
Well, you have a very Stan Lee name.
I do.
Andy Stanley.
My last name is Stanley, yes.
You totally have come out of a Marvel comic, Andy Stanley.
Yeah, thank you. So the Jewish Comics Anthology is actually the only book in existence with two Stan Lees in it.
two Stan Lees.
That's right.
Why? Who's the other Stan Lee?
Me. Stan Lee.
Oh, Stan. And Stan Lee. I got you. I'm with you now. This is Sunday,
it's
kids.
Early.
It's day
it's
four.
Early.
It's early. But we're keeping... Listen, you're one of them, like, mega threats. Writer, artist, publisher, promoter, blah, blah, blah.
Underwear model.
What do you consider yourself? If somebody asked you what you do. I make comics, or
yeah. I mean, that's I'm a graphic novel creator. I mean, I usually I say I'm a publisher,
right?
Because that's pretty much you know that
covers
runs,
the
that
gamut,
runs yeah that runs the
thing.
Gamut. Yeah.
See, when I
yeah.
first started seeing you come to the shows, the big thing was Titan that you were pushing.
Yeah, that was
yeah,
the first
right?
book. Yeah, we
like
ever
all
published.
Your signage, everything. You were
that's,
mainly
yeah. We created yeah. the company AH Comics for Titan.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And it's named after Titan. So Titan and Alternate History. And we created Alternate History Comics.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
perfect. It's a beautiful book. Talk a little about it.
Thank you. Well, it was published in 2011. The book itself is about a character who is reincarnated through thousands of years and tries to take over the world in different lifetimes.
That's good times.
Yeah, so man. You kind of follow the bad guy as he tries and fails and tries and fails, and I won't give away the end.
Right.
But it's unique because it takes place in four time periods. Each one is a different art style that I used for it.
Yeah, which yeah, is so, super, super cool.
Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
That's fun to
yeah.
do. What inspired doing that? Just... You like to keep things very...
Yeah, I think that part of it was more, you know, was more I just wanted to do something that had different visual style throughout the whole book.
Right.
So that allowed Mike, the author, to write the script in a way that he can go back and forth between scenes and between time periods.
Right.
And the reader doesn't get lost because visually they always know where they are.
So did the changing visuals affect the writing for him at
all? It may have.
Yeah.
It may have. Because we talked about the story before. And then once he started putting the script together, I talked about how I wanted to do the artwork. And so that probably influenced a bit of the way that the story went. Yeah.
Right. So where did it start for you? Would you say you started as an artist, as a writer? Like, how old were you when you started doing
Started as an artist, yeah.
Yeah.
I've wanted to do comics since I was a little kid, right?
Right.
You know, yeah. I've always been drawing and painting.
Right.
Yeah. And
but
then,
you have a very fine illustrator style, though, as well as the paint, like as far as the painting and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
thank you.
Was there multi-interest, or were you very early on? I want to do this, but in comics.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
I want to do this, but
right.
in comics. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So.
Well, it's early on. I don't know if you're familiar with Sean Seal. He's an artist out of Michigan. He does Source Point Press stuff. He's got a book called The Rot, and he does a book called Nora with Casey Pierce.
Cool.
You have very similar painting styles.
Oh, thank you.
As far as
I
your
guess.
Aesthetics.
As long as he's good.
The tone of it, he's incredible.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah.
No, he's phenomenal.
You guys, your work looks similar because
he
really sucks.
No, and he's just getting into doing comics for the first time.
Right, okay.
And he's loving it because
nice.
He's always just been a
yeah.
fine illustrator, right?
Yeah.
So it's been neat to watch him get more and more into it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you guys have that kind of... I love it. I love bringing the painting into the
yeah.
comics. You know,
thank
it
you.
Makes you all the stuff stand out so much. You know what I mean?
Nice.
I think it's great. So it started with Titan.
Sorry, I'm handing
That's
a
okay.
book over.
Things are happening. People are conventioning. That Jewish comics anthology seems to be flying off your table.
It's
huh?
doing pretty good. Well,
yeah.
we've got it as a special with Moonshot, so
two books
for $30. So
right,
it's,
right.
Yeah.
So
it's a great deal, yeah.
After Titan comes Moonshot. The award-winning Moonshot, or not?
Well,
right
after Titan came Hobson's Gate, which is
yes,
the one I
okay.
wrote and illustrated, and then
right.
we did Delta, which was the collaboration with the jazz instrumental quartet, the River Pilots.
What? Hold on.
Yeah, where have you
I'm not
been?
Familiar with it.
Oh,
I can't read everything.
It's
man.
It's a book that it's like a 16-page book that comes with a CD.
What?
Yeah.
What?
And it's jazz instrumental music, and each track in the CD corresponds to a page in the book. You
oh
kind of
my God.
You kind of listen to the music
yeah.
and look at the art. It's more of like a concept.
It's those
package,
shadow people.
You know,
those shadow people are out of Denver. This guy Phil Buck. And he does kind of the same thing. He was very more inspired by like gorillas. It's more like a gorilla style thing.
Oh, okay.
But that's exactly what it is. It's not like an exact soundtrack, but the album will go with the comic as far as mood and all that sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a movie soundtrack.
It's a mood.
Total
piece,
same
yeah.
Total same concept. I think that's fantastic, and I'm surprised more people don't do it. What inspired you to do it?
Well, they approached me. The River Pilots are, they're friends of mine. You know, they played at my wedding, and I did their... I've done their... Because I do graphic design and stuff, so I've done their albums, their packaging before. So
right,
we've been friends for a while. And they approached me to wanted to know if I could do this project with them. So
that is rad.
Love your mic, by the way.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
It's a Zoom H1.
It's sexy.
Yeah, I'm waiting on an H6 right now.
Oh, wait, well, I'm moving up in the world.
It's going to blow
your
mind.
You're skipping from 1 to 6.
How come every damn time I meet you, there's something new that I learned that you've done that I haven't heard of? It's crazy.
Because I like to keep you on your toes, man.
Well, you definitely are.
I can't give it all away up front, right?
Well, the absolute crowning glory so far, for me at least, is what, you know, got us talking way more was Moonshot.
It was Moonshot, yeah.
Because, my God, it's insane. As people have probably heard us talk about before, I go on about Moonshot all the time. Oh, very exciting to hear about a Volume 2.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Do tell.
Well, Volume 2, Moonshot, the Volume 1, has won multiple awards, and we've had such a great response for it.
Incredible.
How could we not do a Volume 2? So we've got...
Yeah, yeah.
So we're kickstarting Volume 2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
so people know, Moonshot is a collection of indigenous works by indigenous peoples.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's just stunningly gorgeous work. Yeah.
Thank you. It's got 13 short stories, and each one is based on a tradition from the author's own tribal background.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that was
their own
background.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah, it's one of the only books with traditional stories, it's not appropriated, it's not exaggerated. These are some of the stories we had to get permission from elders to retell in this comic book format. Yeah.
That is super
because there's just obviously a long history of cultural appropriation.
You want to see it with respect.
And white publishers, people who are do not identify as indigenous, taking, you know, these stories and then calling them myths and legends and making them different than what they are, whereas in the indigenous communities, I mean, they don't use the word myths, legends, tale, you know, because these are it's part of their history and their culture.
I never thought to look at it like that.
Yeah,
that's totally true, right? So how were they receptive to it, the elders?
Very much so.
That's cool.
Knowing, because you know, we explained and we gave them a list of all the people that we're working with and how we're going to do the book and the types of stories that will be in it.
Right.
And it was the indigenous peoples themselves that approached the elders on our behalf we're working with this
and
company.
How did you hook up with them? Did you just kind of Google indigenous artists and see who's doing cool work?
Some of them I already knew. A lot of it was done through Hope, who's the editor. She's from Winnipeg, and so she's worked closely with the indigenous community up in Winnipeg.
Right.
And her father's worked with the History Museum, so they had a lot of connections there. And then, you know, networking through that area.
That's very cool.
We've got people from indigenous authors and artists from all across North America now. So,
right. Yeah. So we'll have new faces, like new members will be joining for Volume
2. Yeah, some who worked on Volume 1 are doing stories for Volume 2, but new people as well. So.
Super cool. You're very, very busy. People want to talk to you because you're important people, Andy Stanley.
Oh, thank you for saying so.
So tell the people where they can find all this absolutely incredible work.
The easiest place, just go to ahcomics.com. And you can also right now go to Kickstarter and look for Moonshot, or go to moonshotcollection.com, and that'll take you right to the Kickstarter.
And kids, you really got to check it out, because it's an elevation of comic books. It's not just a graphic novel. It's not just a typical anthology. It's an absolute piece of art unto itself. So thanks for bringing it to the world.
Can't wait
for Volume 2. Andy Stanley, it's always a pleasure.
Cheers.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
No more putting this off, damn it.
All right.
We're not putting this off anymore.
Hands.
Damn it.
Literally bleeding in my hands.
That's a digital recorder.
All right.
Yep. You're talking to millions and millions of people right now.
Right now?
No, not at all. Maybe a few dozen, if we're lucky.
Okay.
Here we are, kids. I've stopped by the Toronto Comics Anthology booth. Good times. Andrew Stevenson.
Hi there. How's everybody doing?
Lead editor. How's it going?
Doing it right. I'm just checking my blood sugar right now.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
It's good to stay healthy.
It is. I'm diabetic. I run books. And it is important when you're running behind the booth to make sure that your blood sugar does not crash and you don't die.
Do you have to keep an extra eye at an event like
this?
Because you're walking
It's high stress as well. When you're doing a sales pitch constantly, there's a certain amount of like cost to that. And you're living off like terrible con food.
Yeah.
Which is a special kind of pizza only found in like the back halls of convention places.
I'm really proud that I avoided Pizza Pizza this year completely. I just kept going out for 250 dogs, man. I was just like, you know. Many members of this fantastic anthology have graced this show, and now yet another, finally, Mr. Greg Menzi. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right. Tell us a bit about your contribution to the anthology.
Well, I've done a 10-page short story with Phil McClory. It's a it's called Hogtown Horror. It's two Irish immigrants who essentially are vampires, and they work the midnight shift at a slaughterhouse.
That's great.
It's a lot of fun. And essentially, they have issues with a pig turning into a vampire and running amok all over the city.
Because they're draining the blood from it. Unfortunately, they don't manage to actually finish it off in time because they get distracted. And so they have a vampire-infected pig running wild into the herd.
It's fantastic.
It's great.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
I love this book. So much cool shit went on in here. What inspired that?
You know, it was really Phil's idea, and he was very, very open to my art style. And I sent my portfolio into Andrew, and Andrew really connected us, and that's one of the great things about Toronto Comics is it connects, you know, local creators, and it just makes such a great network.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. So many people have made friends, and, you know, I think about how many projects are going to come out of it further for
Absolutely.
People wanting to work together.
There's, in fact, like, we do Toronto Comics Anthology Series, but some of our colleagues are doing their own anthology series that's just launching on Kickstarter right now called Hogtown Horror.
If you check last episode, actually, show, Hogtown Horror, we had on Mr. Christopher Yao, Mark Fu, Peter Harlish. It's hard to say his name.
Okay.
I misspelled it.
And Greg is also
Harlish,
in that book.
Greg as well.
And also
Derek Chow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Derek dropped by the booth today, actually.
Oh, yeah.
He's around here.
I missed him. Very, very nice.
Yeah, he's walking Speedo right now.
And what is your story in Hogtown?
My story in Hogtown is actually the Midnight Show. And it's a bunch of kids. It's sort of like Scooby-Doo in a horror movie theater adventure. And they sneak into this old rundown theater, and they find old movies, and they start to quickly get in over their heads, and
that's awesome.
Horror ensues.
Yeah. Well, that's what's great about this anthology is you let them go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are looking and taking the craziest ideas.
Hogtown is someone else. Hogtown is one of those guys.
So I just mean the anthologies in general is you guys aren't like limiting much, even though it's about Toronto. There's some crazy ideas that are in these stories. Like,
there's a lot of incredibly talented folks in Toronto who are working on really exciting stuff. And so you can't help but get amazing collaborations out of them.
Right.
And I mean, Andrew's story is one of the better stories, I would say. I mean,
good flattery. I appreciate it.
I'd love to see it. Like, there's so many stories that you want to see become a book.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
You know, it's something I've talked about in the past. Like, I mentioned, like, in potentially expanding my Volume 3 story, which is about Kunik and the slave wizard and all bunch of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be a fun little, like, I don't know, 100-page book.
Yeah, no, totally.
But, like, I got to just get my life out of anthologies first.
Right. How did you first hear about the anthology?
Well, I think I first heard about it at last year's Fan Expo, where Andrew approached me as...
You were at the pro booth. You had Magos, I think it was?
Yeah, Magos. Yeah. And Andrew walked up to me and said, "Hey, this is a great comic." And I said, "Well, thank you very much, sir."
Right.
The rest is history.
Yeah, and it worked out really well.
That's
awesome.
And that was your previous book then? Tell me about your other work.
I was self-publishing my own fantasy story called Magos. It's still available on Comixology. I've since stopped that one. But that's, you know, led me to Andrew and Toronto Comics, and it's led me on to other creators.
Yeah. What area are you out of?
I'm in Winnipeg, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I was in Toronto for a year. I lived here. But I moved back home to Winnipeg, and I just come out here now for the big shows.
Really? You just came out for the show?
I just came out for the show.
Oh, what's it like in the Peg? What's the Peg's... It's been a long 4 days, kids. What is the Peg's comic community like?
You know, Winnipeg's comic community, I'm still, like, sort of re-engaging with everyone there.
Okay.
There's a huge fine art scene. The Toronto comic scene is really the one in Canada, though. There isn't a huge Winnipeg scene, and that's why I still come out here for all the big shows.
Right.
Like TCAF.
I hear Calgary was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
A lot of fun in Calgary this year. I heard a lot of books sold. So.
Yeah, I heard Montreal is also big. There's a lot going on in Canada.
I haven't been to Montreal yet. People love that convention.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, that's very, very cool. Greg Menzi,
contributor to the Toronto Comics Anthology, and Andrew Stevenson over there doing business, dealing away. We're going to have you back very soon, sir. We'll sit down for a proper hour conversation because I'd love to learn more about what you're doing.
Okay,
but,
perfect.
But thanks for chatting, and have a safe trip back to the bag, eh?
Thank you. Thank you. We'll stay in touch. Part one and two.
Quick minute. We're wrapping up, Jason Liu. We got about 20 minutes left of Fan Expo 2016. How was your weekend?
Amazing. This is my first time as a guest, and the fact that I didn't have to pay like $500 for an Artist Alley table, everything's in the bank. It's up and up. I had a fantastic weekend. Thank you for all the support to all my fans. I sold out of issue number 9s and all my trade paperbacks that I brought. Kept on restocking on summer specials. They were sold out. You guys, I love this. I love the love.
That's all I've been hearing too. Is everybody's had the best con they've ever had.
And, yeah.
You know, maybe a little bit of thanks to Kevin Boyd for bringing a little bit.
Oh,
of the heart
definitely.
Back
thank you, Kevin Boyd. Yes, yeah. for inviting me as a guest.
Yeah, absolutely, man. As much as this has been a very exciting con, I want to quickly talk about the Mississauga Comic Expo,
right,
which you're heavily involved in pushing along. I'm very, very excited about this show. Tell us a bit about it.
So my full-time job is I work at the Mississauga Library System, and our library staff is a planning committee behind the Mississauga Comic Expo. This is we're going to have our second annual event on October 21st and 2nd. 21st, we're going to have a kickoff event with Word Burglar, more or less, Cybertronic Spree. It's going to be like a mini nerd noise night. And then the next day, we're going to have all these exhibitors. We're going to have Jay Torres, Andrew Wheeler, plus 45 more artists.
There's some crazy names coming.
Oh,
really talented
Chapter
people.
House is going to be there. Another big name, but I'm waiting until like he signs a contract, and then we'll have
him
in.
That's always wise to do.
And it's a free event. It's a free event, so just come in and meet all these cool guys. We'll have some workshops going on. It's expanded to 3 floors. We're going to have a cosplay workshop as well.
Oh, yeah?
Some miniature paintings for if you're a D&D fan or a Warhammer fan.
Oh, that's cool. And if anybody hasn't been to the Mississauga Library, it's a fantastic building. Like, I'm looking forward to, you know, it's going to be my first year seeing that. And happily, I've been in touch with a few of your cohorts, so an Elegant Weapon will be there.
Awesome.
And we'll definitely be covering the party. So, you know, you guys will get to hear it. But hopefully you can come out. It's Burnham Thorpe, right at Square One.
Uh-huh.
Right across
301 Burnham Thorpe.
Yeah, it's going to be good times indeed. And, of course, the pitiful human lizard, which has exploded this year.
Check it out.
Yeah, and where people can check it out as well.
Facebook.com/pitifulhumanlizard or follow me at rebel_LOO.
Perfect. It's one of the most unique books out there right now. It's quirky, it's fun, it's dark at times, and I love it. I love what you're doing, man. So
thanks, man.
Everybody check out Jason Liu, more homegrown local talent. So we'll see you at the Mississauga Expo, sir.
We're shaking our hands right now. You guys can't see it on the podcast.
But it's a nice firm shake.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Jay.
Take it easy. Cool.
Kids, I am here with Scott Chandler, who I had the enormous honor of seeing compete in a sketch duel today with my very good friend, Mr. Jay Fosgate. You guys killed it.
Thanks, man. It was a lot of fun. Yeah. I think he won the drawing contest, but
I don't know, man. How can you say that when your styles are so different?
Well, that's true. It is hard to compare. It's kind of apples to oranges, isn't it? But he's good and fast.
That was really good. It was funny. I giggled at the one point when they were talking about how, you know, you're done with 12 hours of drawing. Last thing you want to do is draw.
Yeah.
Jay really is. He's compulsive.
He finishes the day and keeps going.
You know what he does at cons? When we go out for dinner with friends, we're all sitting there eating,
right,
not paying attention to him, and all of a sudden
he'll sketch it away in front of you, and there's a caricature of you.
It's amazing.
You know,
that's a good. It's a good habit to be in, though. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, yeah, he's obsessed. Now, as much as his style is wonderful, very Disney-esque, very animated.
Yep.
You have a very nice, clean, retro, very Darwin Cook, as you were speaking.
Yeah.
About being influenced style. I love what you do. Has that always been your thing?
Yeah, kind of. I've just always, you know, had. You know, a kind of a hankering for that sort of mid-20th century design style. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't have rose-colored glasses about how great life was in the old days. I know, there's a lot of things that are better now than they were then, but something about, things just looked great.
Yeah.
Just everyday objects looked great. People dressed well. Yeah. You know, there was...
Even the toaster would be stylish.
Yeah, exactly. The blender is a beautiful, art object. There was a real... there was a real desire in those days to make everyday life, a little more appealing through design.
Right.
And things were beautiful. So, yeah, certainly the look of that era is appealing to me and a big influence. A lot of illustrators from that era are influences, and other artists, like you say, Darwin Cook, who were also influenced by that era.
While I've got you, tell me about the Three Thieves, something you've been working on 9 years, 7 volumes.
Yeah, it's been a big project. I started writing it for my kids when my older son was maybe 3 or 4. He got the Fisher-Price Castle for Christmas.
Okay.
And he asked if I could write a story with a castle in it. So when you're a writer, a prompt like that just sends you off and running. It becomes this 7-book series that has taken up, you know, half of my career. But it's been great. It's been really terrific to work on. The characters are a lot of fun. And it's just, you know, rambunctious, physical, fantasy adventure, old-fashioned swashbuckling kind of stuff.
Nice, just,
you know, the kind of stuff I loved when I was a kid. You know, you kind of write back. When you have kids, you just kind of go back to when you were a kid.
Yeah, I got a 5-year-old, and I'm feeling that.
It's like you're 5 again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're excited over things you haven't in years.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You remember all the things you loved and stuff like that. So it's been a great way to get some of that out.
That is very super cool. Just where can people find it? Where can people see your stuff?
Anywhere. You know, it's weird. I work mostly with book publishers, so you're less likely to find my stuff in comic shops as you are at your local Chapters or Indigo or your favorite independent bookstore or Amazon.com or any place that sells books online or any of the big bookstore chains.
Very cool. We're wrapping up the show here. Scott, thank you so much for a few minutes. Hopefully we can sit down and have a nice proper chat.
Yeah,
let's... Love to get into your story sometime.
Let's do.
I'll find you online and we'll chat it up.
I'm going to give you one of my cards.
Oh, yeah, perfectly. That's Scott Chantler, amazing Canadian cartoonist, artist, kids. Check him out.